Okay, if you can turn to Luke chapter 13, we're going to read from the beginning of the chapter. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word and the truth that's in it. Lord, just help me tonight, Lord, to convey that truth. Lord, don't let me get in the way of your truth. Lord, I just pray that you'd use me tonight, Lord, to speak your truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I would want to talk to you tonight about repentance. And you've probably heard the definition of repent is to turn from your sin. But it's more than just that alone. And we need to be careful when witnessing to people if all we tell them to do is turn from their sin. Because people will try to do it in their flesh. They'll do it without God. And it's possible for people to stop drinking and stop taking drugs and other things without God. But we want them to do it with God, otherwise there'll be other issues of sin in their life, like pride. And you hear it so often when people boast about they were alcoholics and the hard road it was and the struggle and giving up. They were drug addicts and they've given it up. And you can see the pride in their life. So I want to talk to you about the word repent. And it comes from the Greek word metanoeo, and I hope I've pronounced that correctly, which comes from two words, meta and neo. Meta meaning to change or after, and neo to think or thought or mind. So metanoeo means to have an afterthought, and specifically that is a change of thought for good. Okay, so a change of thought for good. It also, so to think again with a different thought, that is a thought to better yourself. To rethink with a changed thought, to reconsider, to change one's mind to change one's mind for the better, heartily, to amend with abhorrence of one's past sin. A thorough change in the heart of men from sin and toward God, a desire to sin no more, but to do the will of God and serve Him. It is a change of the mind that will result in change of life. It will result in change of life. I'll give you a little bit of a illustration to maybe, I don't know if this will help. I hope it'll help. Okay, Cam is driving down the road. He's going to work out at Miller Miller, and for some reason, he rethinks about going to Miller and does a return. Does a U-turn. So he rethinks about going to Miller Miller and does a U-turn. It was his change of mind that caused him to do a U-turn. Okay, so he took facts that he already knew and maybe some new facts that he just saw, like a rain cloud there, and he didn't want to pull the roof of a house with a rain cloud coming. So he took facts that he knew and he took some new facts, possibly, that he's just seen, and it's caused him to rethink and to change his life, change his direction for that day. Okay, I don't know if that helps you, but the change of mind happened, and he changed, then he turned around. Okay? Let's turn to Revelations chapter 3, and I'm going to try and give some biblical biblical definitions tonight of this word repent and what it looks like. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, Jesus telling John to write under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. And in verse 17, Jesus says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I rebuke, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." There's firstly, two words in verse 17, the word sayest and the word knowest. Okay, when you say something, you think before you say it, or at least I hope you do. Some people don't, it seems, but usually when you say something, you have to think about it before you say it. And the word knowest. These people know not their own situation, so they haven't done much thinking. And Jesus says to them in verse 18, "I counsel thee, I recommend that you buy gold from me, for what you have is not eternal life." He says, what you think you have is not really what you have. You need to buy something that is tried by the fire, something that I give you. So these people think they are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Verse 19, Jesus tells them to repent, to rethink, their situation, because thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He wants them to rethink the life they're living, the life that he's given them, to make choices, and they haven't made the right choice. He wants them to rethink, to bring a change of life for the better. He wants them to see where they're truly at and to rethink their actual state. Jesus, while we're here in Revelation, Jesus finishes each of these letters to the churches. He says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." If you hear something, it causes you to think. When I said about Cam driving down the road, you didn't think of a teddy bear. You thought of Cam, okay? A grizzly bear, yeah, we might have thought of a grizzly bear. So you thought of Cam. Sorry, I just lost myself here. So if you're listening now, you should be thinking about this. Jesus is saying, you should be thinking about what I'm telling you. He writes unto the church and tells them, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." He's asking for action upon what he's told them. He said, did you listen to what I said? Have you been thinking about those things, what you are going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Okay. It's interesting also in those letters that a lot of them he mentions that they need to repent because they think they have something, but they don't. They think that they are within God's protection and God's hand, but they're not. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21 and verse 28. We have a parable here. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But after he repented and went, he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of the twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe in him. Which son did the will of his father? The first, the one that repented. Why did he do the will? Because he changed his mind. He changed his mind. And we see in verse 29 that after he repented, he went. It says, and went. A change of mind will result in a change of life. There will be action when you have a change of mind. It's interesting here, Jesus points to the chief priests and the elders, and he says, you've seen John the Baptist's ministry, and the harlots and the publicans have believed it, and you've seen it, you've seen the facts, but you won't rethink. You won't rethink that you might believe because his ministry points to me. They don't want to believe John because John pointed to Christ. Turn with me to another parable, Luke 15, Luke chapter 15, and in this chapter we have three parables. We have the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin and the parable of the prodigal son. If you look in verse 7 at the end of the first parable, Jesus says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So we see that the first parable, he's talking about repentance. And in the second one, verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels, of God over one sinner that repenteth. And we'll just read through the prodigal son, or at least some of it. So let's start from verse 11. Yep. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father slew him. That changes the whole story, doesn't it? And when he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Let's stop there. We see at the beginning of that parable, like most people these days, how they are with God. It's all, give me, give me, give me. Give me my portion of goods that falleth to me. All they want is God to give them something. That's all God is to them. Somebody that answers prayer, answers their needs. When they call, they expect God to listen. So often, I remember I was like that. I used to ask God for things, not expecting to give anything back, but just give me, give me, give me. But we see in verse 17, he came to himself. The words, and when he came to himself, he said, he did some thinking. He did some serious thinking while he was in the pig pen with the pigs. And he realized that he'd sinned against heaven and that he'd sinned against his father. He was broken before God and his broken before his father because of his sin. And at some point in your life, you will know this. Okay, you will know. I'll go back, hang on. He saw that he was wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Okay. At some point in your life, you are going to see that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We have opportunity now to see it. And if you don't see it now, you'll see it when you stand before God. It's pretty serious to be standing before God and not be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. True repentance will always come with a broken and contrite spirit. Always. The prodigal son was broken. He had come to himself and he realized that He needed to be with his father. He needed the father. There's a lot more to say about biblical repentance, and I've only sort of scratched the surface. But I want to leave you with a thought here tonight. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Turn back a couple of pages back to Luke 13. Verse 3 and 5 both say, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Romans 2:4 tells us that it's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. It is the goodness of God that leads us to rethink the life that we are living. God wants us to rethink about one thing in particular, and that's Christ. He wants us to think about the goodness he showed to us, in that God sent his Son Jesus Christ to become flesh, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It is his goodness to you and the life that you're living that he wants you to rethink. He offers you a life that is better, and he gives it more abundant. Life that you can have it more abundantly. Mark 1:15, Jesus said, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. It is the goodness of God that God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is his goodness. Have you thought about his goodness to you? He blesses us every day in so many ways. Have you thought about that? And have you thought about the sacrifice God made in sending his Son? Except ye have a change of mind that results in a change of life, ye shall likewise perish. Repent or perish. Salvation hangs on what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And repentance is that pivotal thing, really. Salvation hangs on if you repent. If you rethink what Christ and his goodness, what he did for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this truth, Lord. And I know, Lord, that there is a lot more in your word, Lord, about repentance, Lord, and the fruit of repentance. And Lord, I pray that you would just stir in the hearts of us tonight, Lord, that we would continue, Lord, to look in your word, Lord, for more about this and to study it out more. And pray, Lord, that if the Holy Spirit has been working, Lord, tonight in somebody's heart, Lord, pray, Lord, that they wouldn't leave without answered questions, Lord. Lord, we thank you and praise you in the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.